was all according to plan. And we'll see that that plan already started all the way back in the book of Genesis. We'll see that here in a little bit. The resurrection, somebody says this, the resurrection was not an accident in history. It was an appointment in time. And today we celebrate that event. The biggest event to mankind other than creation. I mean, we wouldn't need it if we wouldn't have been created. So that's a big event. But the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. What would our hope be if Jesus would not have been raised from the dead? There'd be no reason for any of us to be here. None. Zero. And we see this very clearly also in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he is not, that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, the teaching is empty, and your faith also is empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also, those of you who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. But praise be to God, that's not true. He did rise again. As Todd also said Friday night, it's not an April Fool's joke. It wasn't just a big deal. It wasn't just a joke that was playing. The empty tomb is the foundation of our Christian hope. If there was no empty tomb, there would be no reason to be here this morning. The resurrection of Jesus was not an unexpected event, but the fulfillment of God's plan revealed throughout the Old Testament. The resurrection was promised, prophesied, and pictured long before the Easter event. We want to look at that. It was a scheduled event. It was promised, prophesied, and pictured long before Easter. Then he said to them, this is Jesus talking actually to his disciples just before he ascended. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they comprehended the scriptures, that they might comprehend the scriptures. And we want to look at some of those scriptures this morning that he was probably referring to. Some of them we don't know for sure. Some of them, as Todd read this morning, Peter very clearly saw in the law was a promise. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and your seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. We see way back in Genesis already that a promise was given of something that's going to happen. Then we see the prophets prophesied. And this is the big one, Isaiah 53. This is the one that we all know and hear about a lot. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And this morning, we're just going to talk about the resurrection. If we want to think about all the prophecies that were fulfilled for the crucifixion, there's a whole bunch more. We're just looking at the resurrection this morning. Inside of that, some of those prophecies from the resurrection will also be coming up. But this morning, I want to look at, or the crucifixion will come up, But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generations? For he was cut off from the land of the living. In other words, he died. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the grave with the wicked. The only way that you go into a grave is if you're dead. But with the rich at his death. Because he has not done violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And we see there, how can he be prolonging his days if he's in the grave unless he was raised? So we see that resurrection already being the language of the resurrection all the way back here in Psalm 53. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and he shall prolong his days. So we see that the servant suffers, talking about before the crucifixion. We see that the servant dies. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Yet after death he lives again, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. We see the resurrection prophesied in Isaiah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And we see a picture there in Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was amazes me. I'm in awe of the plan that God put together. All the things that he did that just weaved the story of what he's done for mankind and what he was going to do for mankind. And here he gave, he pictured Jesus being in the grave 3 nights and three days and three nights. We see that pictured in Jonah. And then we see it again in the Psalms. So we talked about, this was a scheduled event. He said, Jesus told his disciples, which was written in the law of Moses, which we looked at, the prophets and the Psalms. And we want to look at that now. And again, we see a prophecy. Proverbs 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in hell or Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And the idea of corruption there has decay. We know what happens to a body that is buried. You will show me the path of life, and your right presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. David died. His body never decayed because he rose again. I think Todd had pointed this out the other night too. Jesus is the only person that was resurrected that didn't die again. You know, we have stories of Jesus resurrecting Lazarus, and we just came through Luke, through the little girl that was raised from the dead. So there's examples of people being raised from the dead. But none of them are here with us anymore. They're the only one. Jesus is the only one that was raised from the dead and never died again. And Peter explains this in Psalm 16 as a prophecy that Jesus fulfilled. And it's part of what Brother Todd had read, where he talks about, he says, therefore, this is Peter talking in verse 29. I'm just going to read that again. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And if you go to Israel, you can see the tomb of David there. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath in him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. So we see Peter going back to Psalm 16. And then we also see Paul, similar, Acts 13:28, put to death. And now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, again, we see that, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, that's about the crucifixion, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. Verse 35, therefore he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption, or his body decayed. But he, Jesus, whom God raised up, saw no corruption. Both Peter and Paul use the same Old Testament text as proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This shows us that even the earliest Christian preaching centered on the resurrection as a fulfillment of Scripture. We have today of what happened, but we have things being written down. God wrote it down beforehand. He told us before the fact. Nobody can do that. You can't do that. Another way for God to prove what he was about to do. And then we see Jesus himself telling, and again, it struck me as I was reading this, that Jesus says, you can know who I am by. But we look at when he was talking to the disciples on the Emmaus Road, the day of his resurrection. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he showed them through the scriptures that what had happened was supposed to happen. And then we see Luke 24, 44, and I read some of this earlier. This is, again, Jesus talking to his disciples just before he ascends into heaven. It says, "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.'" So we see Jesus himself using the scriptures, the Old Testament, to prove the resurrection, to prove that what had happened was something that was planned. It was not a contingency plan. It was not an accident. It's not something that God came up with at the spur of the moment, but it was something that God had planned all along. And so for the sake of that story, I'm going to read that story. It'll take, I don't know how long it takes me, 10 minutes maybe, 5 to 10 minutes. I'm going to read a compilation of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the resurrection story to you this morning. I think it's an amazing, it's a story that all of our faith rests upon. If we didn't have the resurrection, if we didn't have this, we would have nothing. So I want to read that story to you this morning. And it can be a little bit confusing. Brother Elias did this a little bit this morning, kind of talked us through it. It's a little bit, because you have four different authors, and sometimes they're talking about things that were happening at the same time in two different places. So then when you try to say it as a, try to read it in a continuance, it sometimes feels like you go backwards a little bit. And this is a compilation of all four Gospels. One thing that I thought about when you try to sit down and read it in just one of the Gospels, you get about a quarter of the information. You get the story, but each one has some things that they add to it. So let's go ahead and listen. "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation of day, for the tomb was nearby." So we have here the fact that he's dead. They put him in the tomb, they wrapped him up, and put him in the tomb. And then we have the wonderful story, the story that I thought about that nobody would believe. If you read this story as a non-believer, it's a fantastic story. It's one of those stories that it would just be almost impossible to believe, that Jesus, the power of God, that Jesus was raised. And so, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him?' Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again?" And they remembered his words. "But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linens lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting on, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabbi," her, "do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things to her. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they had trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And this is going back and talking about the other women leaving the tomb also. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell while we slept, and if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. After that, he appeared in the country. Now behold, two men were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered him and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, a day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And then they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do your doubts arise in your hearts? Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see." But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power on high." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." He said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After them, Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. What a wonderful, wonderful risen Savior that we have. We are saved by his life. Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having not been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." What a wonderful, wonderful promise that we have this morning. And we see that it was not contingency plan. It was not plan B. It was not an emergency plan that God had to come up with. But it was something that God had planned all along because he loved every one of us. And as was shared this morning, even if it would have just been one of us, he would have still done it. We're thankful for him for that this morning. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer, and then Corbin can come up and lead a song. Father, we thank you this morning for your love and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the things that you've written down. Lord, we thank you for the evidence that you've given us. Lord, that we have here today with us, the evidence of things that happened in history. But Lord, we also have your word that you knew about it before it became history. Lord, you knew about it before we had the evidence. And Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you for your love and mercy that you have for us, the mercy that you've given us by sending your Son to die for our sins. Lord, to give us what we do not deserve. We thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.